This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Related to the subject of our discussion that we had. A question here, is i'tikaf the closest thing to behavior of monks in an Islamic manner? This comes from the book of Imam Ibn Rajab, Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he was speaking about the secrets of Hajj. Because Hajj resembles the concept of the service of the monks. When you travel, leave everything behind, and go dedicate yourself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, carrying minimum provision. So is the i'tikaf similar to that? It could be. So i'tikaf could resemble that actually, because when you do i'tikaf, you seclude yourself and cut yourself off from this dunya and stay in the masjid for a few days and a few nights during the month of Ramadan, doing this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's actually much closer to the concept of being a monk than the hajj itself. Wallahu alam. In terms of the hadith of the tawaf with a camel, is the qiyas for using a wheelchair nowadays? Well, not necessarily a wheelchair, actually, but the hoverboard could be actually one of those examples. You know the hoverboard, the jama'ah? You kind of like, you go around the Kaaba and, or tawaf, standing on those boards and just kind of keep go electric boards. Would that qualify? Can that count for you? The answer is actually, it does, actually. It's permissible. Because it's not an obligation on you to walk as long as you go to tawaf around the Kaaba. So when the Prophet ﷺ did the tawaf, he was actually riding on the back of the camel to make it easy for the people. However, there's no doubt, if you walk and you endure the hardships of going through that process, obviously because you have another option, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, your reward inshallah will be greater bin Allah azza wa jal. Is arguing with your neighbors because of mistreatment or will failure to do da'wah to them fall within this? Now, mistreatment, you can have that even with Muslims. It doesn't have to be with non-Muslims. Yeah. So they park, you know, the wrong place. They keep, you know, blocking your mailbox, ruining, for example, your kids, they keep ruining their flower beds and all that kind of stuff. All of it is mistreatment, jama'ah. Not just that, even not taking care of your front yard. The lawn is, mashallah, tabarak rahman, like the savannah right now. And you don't cut it regularly. You're ruining everybody else's image in the neighborhood. So that's also bad. So it's extremely important that you take care of these things in the neighborhood. But still, if you have issues with your neighbors, subhanAllah, I mean, try to minimize the conflict to the as much as possible. To make the conflict at the least. And what about failure to do da'wah? Wallahi, that's up to you. If you would like to initiate giving the da'wah, inshallah, that's great. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from your Rabbil Alameen. If you fail, are you going to be held accountable on the Day of Judgment? I'll leave this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to judge. And by the way, da'wah does not necessarily mean you have to open a booth in front of your garage and hand pamphlets. That's not da'wah. Simply your good manners, your akhlaq, good morning, good evening. Hey, you need help with that. Hey, can you help me with this? And that's part of the da'wah as well too. What does it mean when you say hadithun marfu'? Hadith, can you explain the difference of type of hadith? So the word marfu', when you say in the book hadithun marfu', means marfu'un ila nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the hadith has two parts. There's the matin, which is the text, and there's the sanad, which is the chain of narrators. So the chain of narrators is the carriers of this matin, this text, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the scholar who documented the hadith in his book, like Imam Bukhari, Muslim, Imam Ahmad, Tirmidhi, and Nasa'i. So these are those who documented the hadith in their books. Before the documentation, people depended on memory. So how did they memorize? Said, I heard that from my Sheikh Fulan, who heard it from his Sheikh Fulan, who heard it from his Sheikh Fulan, who heard from this companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who heard it from the Prophet who said so and so. That chain needs to be completely sound and completely connected for this hadith to be considered acceptable. Now there is specific condition, but I'm not going to go into the details here. But if this hadith is connected from Al-Bukhari, from Muslim, from Imam Ahmad, the one who documented the hadith, all the way to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nobody missing in that link, this is called hadithun marfu', because it reached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rufi'a ila nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If the sahabi is missing or sometimes the Sahabi and the one that comes after the Sahabi, the Tabi'i. If they are missing, they call it Mawquf. Some they call it Maqtur. So eventually, Mawquf ala Sahabi, which means it stopped at the Sahabi. So we can't confirm this to be from the words of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So here when he says, Fil Hadith al Marfu', which means this Hadith, actually the Sahabi attributed that to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's what it means. Naam. What are some of the top reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not accept your hajj? I mean, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our hajj, ya Rabbi. Why be so pessimistic right now? Hope for your hajj to be accepted, inshallah ta'ala. But for some of the reasons that the hajj would not be accepted, of course, if someone, a'udhu billah, stole money and go with this for hajj, for example. And we say stealing money doesn't have to be stealing, go and go rob a bank and go to hajj with that. But no, you wronged somebody, you took their money. In a business trade, for example, dhulm. So would that hajj be accepted? That's a dispute among the ulama. Some of the ulama, they say the hajj is acceptable, but they're still carrying a sin of carrying that haram money on that journey as well too. If someone, of course, when they go to hajj over there, and the Prophet called hajjun mabrur, you did not make any faults or mistakes that will ruin your hajj. So that's a long list of items that can be found in books of fiqh, inshallah ta'ala. What if the neighbor is a bad person or harmful? Sell your house. I'll buy it from you, inshallah. if it's somewhere in the area over here, no. No, but seriously, what if my neighbor was bad? I mean, we talked about this in the previous session. If you remember the man who came complaining to the Prophet, قال يا رسول الله, my neighbor, keep harming me and hurting me. So the Prophet told him, took your luggage and your furniture and put it outside. And put your family there with it. He didn't know why, but he realized later, because as he was doing that, the neighbors were passing by and said, what's going on? Why are you here for? He goes, I don't know. I complain about my neighbor XYZ. The Prophet told me to do that. He goes, which neighbor is that? This one? And they went to that neighbor. Shame on you. Well, how do you do this to your neighbor? They kept scolding the other guy until he came and said, please, could you please go back? I swear I'm not gonna say anything bad to you after this. That's not going to work here in America, Jama. If you take all your luggage out in the streets, people are going to think it's for free, so they're going to pick it up. So don't do that here. But yeah, if you have a bad person, what do? Your duty and your job is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way you treat them. If they decided to disobey Allah in the way they treat you, that's their problem, not your problem. If it became unbearable, can I sue him? Can I sue my neighbor if they hurt me big time and they did this and did that? The answer is yes. You can seek the path of justice or seek the path of ihsan. So it's okay. So sometimes sharing food with our non-Muslim neighbors, there is a concern about sharing food with them, that because they would have their own celebration, like Diwali, for example, or Christmas and stuff like that, and they will share food with you. How do we navigate this? Now, look, sharing food in general is okay, but if you know that specific food is done with the religious connotation with it, that's the thing that you worry about. So if it's just general cookies that has nothing, no specific connotation with it, gingerbread, for example, eat it, bismillah. But if it's something specific and there are specific rituals for that matter, that's what you stay away from. Also, you tell your neighbors, basically, that, but that means that you have to have a relationship with them before that time. So they know beforehand, you don't celebrate these things, for example, these matters. And when you eat, you only eat specific, let's say, diet that you're aware of. And they should be aware of as well, too. Alhamdulillah, we had actually neighbors in other communities, and they were very, very gracious. And when they invite you over, they say, oh, by the way, we got halal from this store and that store. They care about getting something halal so they can actually serve you, subhanAllah. Is wearing sandals allowed during tawaf and sa'i? Yes, it's allowed actually. You can do that. I mean, it's simple. I don't know if this question is coming from someone here. Like living among the non-Muslims, is that permissible? So where are you living then? If the question is coming from here, if coming from somebody from overseas, that may be applied to them, but doesn't apply to us over here. because a lot of questions not related to our subject here. Is there a فرق هل هناك فرق بين حديث مرفوع وحديث صحيح أو ضعيف? Is there a difference between حديث مرفوع and the حديث is considered صحيح or ضعيف? Well, الحديث المرفوع, it means it is connected to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Does not necessarily mean it's authentic. صحيح means authentic. ضعيف means weak, which means unacceptable. So the hadith could be connected to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, but the reason why it's considered weak for other reasons, like maybe one of the narrators in that chain is not reliable enough. So they say the hadith is not reliable because this man exactly is not a reliable person. So wait a minute, how much? What do you mean by non-reliable? Well, sometimes it comes from somebody whose memory is not that strong. Therefore, we consider this to be a weak because I don't think he memorized it properly. Or sometimes this person, yeah, he narrates the hadith, but his character is not up to bar. That will make us accept that from them. So therefore, we cannot be cautious about taking hadith from them. So yes, the hadith is connected to the Prophet ﷺ. It doesn't necessarily mean it's actually sahih. But the sahih has to have specific conditions. And the da'if is any of these conditions of the sahih are taken out. What are the conditions of the hadith sahih? To be connected, ittisal al-sanad, completely, from the Prophet ﷺ all the way to the narrator, in this case the Bukhari, for example. قال اتصل سنده بنقل العدل الضابط. The people who are narrating the hadith, all the scholars on that chain should be of upright character with good, beautiful memory, perfect memory in that regard. عن مثله إلى منتهى, to the end, من غير شدود ولا علة, and there should be no shudud, which means like, a shudud is a specific condition in the hadith, which means something odd about the narration or about the actual chain itself. أو علة, there is some hidden يعني fault in the chain itself as well too. نعم. We explained that already, alhamdulillah. Khair inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.